Tonight we're going into the Bible. Last night we talked about the mastermind of deception, how man has been tampering with God's Word. Tonight we go into the great deception, the one deception that's going to captivate almost the whole world. Before we open God's Word, though, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You so much for tonight, for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, Father, as we open Thy Word, we pray that the same Holy Spirit that led the men of old to write the Scriptures will lead us to understand. Open our eyes, open our hearts. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to understand tonight's message, we must go back and review just for a few minutes what we covered last night. Last night, we learned from the Bible that we are saved by the grace of God alone. But we also learned something about the Ten Commandments, that God wants to write His law, put it in our hearts, put it in our minds, and He wants us to give us that peace, that joy, and happiness that comes through serving the Lord. You know, there's a misunderstanding on the subject of the Ten Commandments today. Man says they're not important. Man says they've been done away with. Man says they won't do you any good. But I believe they're important because God gave them to us. Amen. God actually wrote them with His own finger, the Bible says. Now, keeping the commandments do not save us, but keeping the commandments shows how much love we have for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, "If you love Me, do what? Keep My commandments." We're going to talk about that love tonight. We're going to talk about what it means to fall in love with Jesus Christ. But also, let's go to the book of Isaiah. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, and notice what verse 18 says. The book of Isaiah, chapter 48, and verse 18. Notice here what it brings out, how it brings out the Ten Commandments. Isaiah 48 and verse 18. It says, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to My commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Notice the wording. He says, when we hearken to the commandments of God, He says, you have peace like a river. Now, I tell you, I want to have a peaceful life. Amen? God wants us to be peaceful. God wants us to be happy. And He says, here's the way to do it. Follow Me. Keep My word. Do what I say. And He says, I'll bless you abundantly. Now, we've got to find out tonight. We touched on it last night. What is sin? Somebody says, well, sin is a broken relationship. That's part of it. But the definition in the Bible is what we're looking for tonight. We touched on it last night. But let's go to the Bible. 1 John chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 4. 1 John chapter 3. Over there by the book of Revelation. Right before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. And look here at verse 4. The first word is whosoever. Now, how many people does that include? That's everybody. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition in the Bible for sin, is the breaking of the law. If it's a little sin or a big sin, in some way it's going to break one of the commandments of God. Sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition. But now notice what else the Bible says. You're in the book of 1 John. Turn back a few pages to 1 Peter and chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter and chapter 2. And notice here what the Bible says about the one we should be following. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 21. This is what God says. 1 Peter 2:21. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Notice the wording. The Bible says that Jesus is our example, that we should be following Jesus. Now, friend, somebody says, well, Jesus was a Jew. Listen, I don't care if He was a Jew, Gentile, black, red, yellow, white, it makes no difference. Jesus Christ is our example, amen? And He is the one that we should be following today. So we're going to look at some verses today of how we should be following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to find out what this great deception is that's captivated almost the whole world, and how we can make sure that we don't make the same mistake. Let's go over to the book of Genesis in chapter 2. And we're going to learn something about Jesus again tonight. Something that we learned the other day. If you were here the day that we talked about the greatest story ever told, we learned from the Bible that Jesus is God. We also learned that God created everything through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 9, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, John 1, 1 through 3, verse 14, Genesis 1, 26. The Bible over and over again says that He is Creator. So we're about to read about Him in Genesis chapter 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2, and beginning with verse 1, follow along with me. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Now notice what's happening here. God is creating the world and He is resting. Now let's be honest. Can God get tired? Of course not. He's God, creator of everything. He doesn't get tired, but why does it say that He created the world, rested on the seventh day? Remember what we just read a few minutes ago, 1 Peter 2:21 says, Jesus is our example and we should follow in His steps. Let me ask you a question as we go on in this study tonight. How many here have ever picked up the Bible and started reading and you found something that was opposed to what you believe and opposed to the way you were living and you had to do something about it? Anybody ever done that? The Bible steps on our toes, doesn't it? Well, we're going to find one of those subjects tonight of how we have to do something. You know, just about all subjects in the Bible you have to accept mentally. But here is a subject we're talking about tonight that you've got to understand physically, mentally, and spiritually. And you're going to see that as we study here tonight. But here He is, resting on the seventh day. But look what else it says. Verse 3 of Genesis 2. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He blessed it. What does that mean? Let's go to the book of Exodus and look at the fourth commandment, because I want you to see how He brings it out in the book of Exodus and chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. Now, we looked at the Ten Commandments last night, and tonight we're going to look at one of these commandments that almost the whole world has forgotten. Listen to it. In Exodus 20, beginning with verse 8, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, there's two reasons why God says to remember. Number one is He wants them to remember something that He had already given to them before. When did He give it to them? He gave it to them back there in creation in Genesis chapter 2. But what's the other reason He says remember? I'm a believer that the reason God says remember at the beginning of the fourth commandment is because God knew that almost the whole world would forget it. Now, He wants us to remember all of them, but He starts this one off with the word remember. Let's read on. Exodus 20, verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. The Lord says we're to work 6 days, but rest the seventh day. Now, why would God give such a commandment? There's several reasons. God gave this commandment because He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have peace. And He wants us to survive. You think about it. Today, society says you work, if you want to get ahead in life, you work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day if you possibly can, and that's how you're going to get ahead in life. Well, people that do that usually go to an early grave. You know that? People who work 7 days a week and they never rest. So God gave a commandment here to bless us physically, spiritually, mentally, the whole works. God wanted something special for the whole man, so He gave us a commandment, and He said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. We're going to talk more about that physical, spiritual, and mental refreshing. But go with me to the book of Luke, if you will, over in the New Testament, Luke chapter 4. And I want you to see something here. In the book of Luke chapter 4, now don't forget what we just covered. Jesus is the Creator. He rested on the seventh day after creating the world. Look at Luke 4, verse 16. He comes to this earth in the flesh, and notice what it says. Luke 4, 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now here's what's amazing and interesting. He creates the world. He rests on the Sabbath day. He becomes flesh to come and take my place and your place on the cross, and he walks among men, and he keeps the Sabbath. Isn't that beautiful? In creation and coming and walking among men, he's keeping the Sabbath. Now somebody says, well, John, the Sabbath has been done away with, and now we keep the Lord's Day. Anybody ever heard that, that the Sabbath was done away with, and now we keep the Lord's Day? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Look at Matthew and chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And just one short verse, listen to what it says. Matthew 12 and verse 8. Which day is the Lord's Day? That's a big question. But listen to what God says. Matthew 12, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the, what day? Sabbath day. The Sabbath is the Lord's Day, according to the Bible. And somebody else comes along and they say, now wait a minute. The Sabbath was just for the Jews. Well, there are several reasons that cannot be true. Number one is, there wasn't a Jew around when God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. The Jewish nation did not begin until the time of Abraham, and that was the beginning of the Jewish nation. But he gave the Sabbath in the very beginning of time. Well, the second reason is, well, let's read it. You're in the book of Matthew. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And look at verse 27. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. And the Bible says, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for the Jews, and not the Jews for the Sabbath. Does your Bible say that? Of course not. Now let's read it correct. You see, it's not what I say, but it's what the Bible says. Amen? Listen to what the Bible says. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man. Now don't miss this. The word man in the Greek is mankind. That means for everybody, and not man for the Sabbath. Now don't miss, this is so beautiful. The Sabbath was made for man. Look what God did. He wants each one of us to be physically, mentally, and spiritually whole. So he gives us a commandment so that we can rest mentally, physically, and spiritually in Jesus Christ. But look at the next verse, verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the what? Here it is again. He says that the Sabbath is the Lord's Day. Well, let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Why should we keep a day, a Sabbath? What is the purpose behind God giving us a certain day as a Sabbath of the Lord? Listen to this. Exodus 20, look at verse 11. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now notice what the Sabbath does. The Sabbath tells us who God is. It says that He created everything in 6 days, and He rested on the Sabbath day. It tells us that He is Creator of the heavens, the earth, everything. But then it says this, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The word hallowed means set apart for special use, for special worship. But he said he blessed it. Now write this verse down. 1 Chronicles 17, 27. 1 Chronicles 17, 27 says, whatever God blesses is blessed forever. Wow. Whatever God blesses is blessed forever. Now, there are certain people who believe, and they sincerely believe this. They believe that when Jesus died on the cross that he did away with the Ten Commandments. Now, we touched on this last night. Some people really believe that he did away with the Ten Commandments when he died. But that's not true. When he died, he actually magnified. The reason Jesus died on the cross was because of a broken law. Because man had sinned. Sin is the transgression of the law. So it doesn't do away with the commandments. It actually magnifies the commandments. So can we find in the Bible people keeping the Sabbath after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did he change it? Let's go to the Bible. The book of Acts. Now remember, the book of Acts was written and took place after Jesus had gone back to heaven. Acts 17, and look at the wording here. Acts 17, and look at verse 2. Now remember, Paul was the preacher to the Gentiles. In Acts 17 and verse 2, it says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." What did Paul do? It was Paul's manner to worship on the Sabbath. He preached unto the people on the Sabbath day. Look at chapter 18 of Acts. Acts 18, verse 4. Acts 18, verse 4. "He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." Now, look at it this way. If we were living during the time of Christ, then we would be considered Gentiles, unless you're a blood Jew, okay? We would be considered Gentiles. So we need to find a verse that says the Gentiles kept the Sabbath. Because if not, then there's something wrong. Acts 13. Turn back to Acts 13. And look what it says. Now remember, this is after Jesus has gone to heaven. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, look at verse 42. Acts 13, 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Verse 44, same chapter, Acts 13, 44. "The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God." You see, back in Jesus' day, after the resurrection, there was no question about the Sabbath. The Jews kept it. The Gentiles kept it. Everybody kept it. It was just a common thing. If you go over to Jerusalem today, you're going to keep the Sabbath. I'll tell you why. Because in Jerusalem, on the Sabbath, they close everything. Actually, from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, everything is closed in Jerusalem. So every denomination basically keeps the Sabbath in Jerusalem. But let's go on. Luke 23. And let me share this with you. Here's the big question. Which day is the Sabbath? Because you know there are people today that keep Friday. There are people who keep Saturday. There are people who keep Sunday. And I met a group of people not too long ago that keep Monday. And I'm sure if I live long enough, I'll find somebody that keeps Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as the Sabbath. You know. So there's people keeping all kind of days thinking that is the Sabbath of the Lord. But we need to find out, which day is the seventh day? Because the Bible's clear. He says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In the Ten Commandments, he says that. In Genesis, he says that. So we need to find out. There are several ways how we can find out which day is the seventh day of the week. One is we can go get the encyclopedia out and look up the word Friday, Saturday, Sunday and see what it says. Now, that could be wrong, though, right? You know, man could have changed that. Or we can go get the dictionary. Get the dictionary out, look up the words, the names of the days, and see what day of the week that is. But that could have been changed. We need to go to the right source. Amen? What does the Bible say? And then we'll find the right answer. Go into Luke 23. Luke 23 is one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. Let me tell you why. Luke 23 is the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God that Jesus came and took my place in your place. Amen? That's the greatest story ever told. And here is the story. When you get a chance, read all of Luke chapter 23. But what I want to do tonight is, through this story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, I want us to find Which day is the seventh day of the week? The Bible makes it very clear. Look at verse 50. That's in Luke 23, verse 50. Jesus is on the cross. He's been crucified, and he's about to die. And he does die on the cross for my sins and your sins. Look what happens next. Verse 50. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just man. Verse 53, or verse 52. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now notice what's happening here. Jesus is on the cross. Joseph goes to Pilate. He asks him, may I take down the body of Jesus? Jesus has died on the cross. So he takes the body down. Look what happens next. Verse 53. He took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Verse 55. The women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now what you've got to notice is chapter 24 is just a continuation of the story. Let's read on. Verse 1 of chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Jesus had resurrected. Praise the Lord. The great story of salvation. But now notice what you're finding here in this chapter. Go back to verse 52 with me, all right, of chapter 23. It says, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. That day was the preparation. Most Christians believe that Jesus was crucified on what we call Good Friday. And I believe that. According to the Bible, Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. I'm also a believer that Jesus resurrected on what we call Easter Sunday. Now notice what is listed here in these verses. First of all, verse 54, that day was the preparation. The day he was crucified, Good Friday. The Sabbath drew on. Verse 1 of chapter 24 says, upon the first day of the week, they come into the tomb and they find that Jesus has resurrected. That's what we call Easter Sunday. Now don't miss this. It's so clear. If Friday is the day he was crucified on, and Sunday is the day he resurrected on, the first day of the week, then which day falls between Friday and Sunday? It is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. According to the Bible, God says that the seventh day of the week is Saturday. Not Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, but Saturday. Now here's a big question. How important is it? Well, first of all, he says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Somebody says, well, no man knows which day is the Sabbath. But we do. Why would God, think about it, why would God tell us to keep the Sabbath and then we not know which day of the week was the Sabbath? That doesn't even make sense. I was talking to a minister some time ago, and we were talking about the commandments. And he told me, he said, the commandments have been done away with. They were nailed to the cross. I said, do you really believe that? He said, yeah, they were nailed to the cross. So I asked him, I said, is it all right for me to go out and worship other gods? He said, oh no, a Christian wouldn't do that. Oh, all right, is it all right for me to go and make graven images and bow down and worship them? Oh no, he said, a Christian wouldn't do that. Ah, is it all right for me to take God's name in vain? He said, oh no, a Christian wouldn't do that. Ah, is it all right for me to dishonor father and mother? He said, no, a Christian wouldn't do that. What about steal? Oh, no, a Christian wouldn't steal. What about kill? Oh, no, a Christian wouldn't do that. What about commit adultery? No, he said, a Christian wouldn't do that. What about false witness? He said, no, a Christian wouldn't do that. What about coveting? He said, no, a Christian wouldn't do that. I said, well, what about the Sabbath? He said, oh, yeah, that one's been done away with. Don't miss the point. The point is this. The Bible says in James chapter 2, if we break one, we're guilty of breaking how many? All of them. All of them. So you see, friends, the Sabbath, along with all the other commandments, are important. I was talking to the same minister about the Sabbath, and I said to him, I said, you know, the Bible says we're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven and on the new earth. He said, oh, no, that's not in the Bible. I want you to see it. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, and notice what God says here. Isaiah chapter 66, and look at verse 22 and 23. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. Notice the wording here. Isaiah 66, 22, 23. It says, for as the new heavens and the new earth. Now, what is it talking about? It's talking about the new heavens and the new earth. Which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Verse 23 of Isaiah 66. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. The Bible says we're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven on the earth. So I asked this man, this minister, I said, listen, if we're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven on the new earth, don't you think it's important now? And this is what he told me. He said, once we get up to heaven, then everything's going to be different and be changed. Friends, don't miss the point. Think about it. When God created the world, what did He do? He rested on the Sabbath. When Jesus came to this earth and walked among men, what did He do? He rested on the Sabbath. Luke 4:16. Don't miss it. When He went to the cross, He was crucified on Good Friday. He rested in the tomb on the Sabbath. He could have resurrected on the Sabbath, but He didn't. He resurrected the first day of the week. Even in His death, He kept the Sabbath. Somebody says, well, it was changed whenever that took place. Wait a minute. If God changed the Sabbath, When he died and He resurrected, then He forgot to tell His disciples. Why? Because it says in Luke 23 that they went home and they kept the Sabbath according to the commandment. And then they came back to the tomb on the first day of the week and they found the stone rolled away. And 30 years later, you find the book of Acts and they're still keeping the Sabbath. Let me use an illustration. I need seven women to come right up here and help me out tonight. Come on, seven ladies. Doesn't matter who you are, whatever. Just come on up here. You're not going to have to preach. You don't have to say a whole lot. Just come up here and stand up front with me. Come on. I need seven women. Come on, we've got two. We need five more. Young ladies can come and help us out. Come on, appreciate you helping me out. One, two, three, four, five. All right, you come on up here and help me out too. What have we got? One, two, three, four, five, six. I need one more. All right, come right up. You come right over here to the end on this side, and you come right over here. Very good. Let you come right over beside this young lady. Right in there, that's fine. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let these ladies see if they how much they know how to count to, okay? How far are you? You're number one, two, three, four, five, six, and seven. Okay, count your number off. Seven. Now, you've got seven women, and here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to ask this gentleman right here, would you stand up, my brother? And we're going to ask him to come up and pick out a wife. Now, wait, hold on. Don't get too fast. He's in a hurry to do this, but we've got to be careful with this kind of thing, you know. I'm going to ask him to come up and pick out his wife, okay? That's what we're going to do tonight. That'd be an easier way to do it. Don't take too long, and don't cause too many problems. All right? Okay. Come right up. Let you go through one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Well, he's looking at him, isn't he? I tell you what. Better watch out for this guy. All right. Now, I want you to notice, he went and chose number seven because that is his wife. He chose the seventh because that is his wife. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your help tonight. I want you to think about what happened just now. I invited this gentleman to come up, choose his wife. He chose the seventh one because that was his wife. Now, here's what would have happened. If he would have come up here and taken one, two, three, four, five, or six, and said, well, I want to choose one of these as my wife, and left from here with her, he would have been committing adultery because he had chose the wrong woman. Think about it. The Bible says there are 7 days in the week. God says, I bless the seventh day, I hallowed the Sabbath day, I made it holy. If I take any one of the other 7 days and say, I'm going to take this one, if I take the first, I'm going to take the second, third, fourth, then I am committing spiritual adultery. Because God says the seventh day is a Sabbath, not the first, not the third, not the second, but the seventh day is His holy Sabbath. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. And notice what's happening in this prophetic chapter, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is the greatest prophetic chapter of all the Bible. And Jesus said something here in this prophetic chapter. He said in Matthew 24, verse 20, notice the wording, Matthew 24, verse 20, he says this, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, wait a minute. This is prophetic. It was for the future. He's talking about the tribulation. He's also talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed in A.D. 70. That was 40 years after Jesus had resurrected. And Jesus was telling His people, He said, pray that you don't have to flee on the Sabbath. Jesus was still expecting His people to be keeping the Sabbath 40 years after the cross. But there's a double application here. This tribulation thing we talked about the other night. It's also talking about the tribulation of the last days. And the Lord is saying to the people, I pray that you don't have to flee on the Sabbath day. Let me tell you what happened. After my searching of the Scriptures, and many of you know my story. My wife and I, after we became born-again Christians, we became part of the Methodist Church and was preparing to become a Methodist minister. And after I got into the Bible, searching and studying and praying, Lord, show me what is truth, show me what is right, help me to find truth. When I came across the Ten Commandments, I could not understand that fourth one. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Why did God put a commandment in there and say, remember the Sabbath, work 6 days, but rest the seventh day? Because I looked at the calendar and something was wrong because the first day wasn't the seventh and the second day wasn't the seventh. So I was confused about this. But the more I studied, the more I searched, I wanted to know what was truth, what was right. So I started keeping both days. I started keeping Saturday and Sunday. I just want to make sure I was right. Amen? Have you ever done that? Has anybody ever done that? Say, man, I want to make sure I'm right, so I'll do it all, you know. Well, after studying the Bible and finding what the Bible said, I went to my mother-in-law and started sharing with my mother-in-law the Bible, subject of the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath. And my mother-in-law is a sweet little lady, and she said, well, I'm going to go talk to my minister about it. So she went to her minister, and her minister told her that nobody didn't know which day the Sabbath was, so it didn't matter. Well, that sounded pretty good. Nobody knows, so why does it matter? Well, Easter came along, so she invited my wife and I to go to church with her. And the minister had one of the most beautiful sermons about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he made this statement in his sermon. He said, today is Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Jesus resurrected. Well, we got home at lunch, and we were eating lunch together, and I look across the table to my mother-in-law, and I say, Ann, that was really a good sermon today. She said, it was. Well, I said, it was. But I said, I got a question I want to ask you. I said, which day of the week did your minister say today is? She said, well, he said it was Sunday, the first day of the week, the day Jesus resurrected. I said, isn't that interesting? He knows which day is the first day, but he doesn't know which day is the seventh day. And it hit her. It hit her. She went to her minister, and she asked him. She said, now, Pastor, you be honest with me. You tell me the truth. Which day is the Sabbath? And he said this, if you go according to the Bible, it is Saturday. Well, friends, listen, I want to go according to the Bible. Amen? What does the Bible say? Write this down, Ezekiel 22. In the book of Ezekiel 22, 23 through 28, it says this. It says that the preachers will hide the the Sabbath from their congregations. What? That the preachers will hide the Sabbath from their congregation. And they will be saying, thus saith the Lord, when God hath not spoken. Powerful words. I met a Methodist minister a few years ago, preaching for 30 years. This is what he told me. He said, every Sunday we open up the church hymnal, and in the very back we read these words to the people. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Work 6 days, but rest the seventh day. And he told me, he said, for 30 years, he said, I knew I was lying to my congregation. There was a day when people would say that Saturday was the Sabbath and Sunday was the Lord's Day. You've probably heard that before. And very few people would ever call Sunday the Sabbath because it wasn't the Sabbath. But recently, within the last 2 to 3 years, something happened. There was a letter written called Deus Domini, right out of the Vatican, and it was titled The Truth About the Sabbath. In this letter, I got it off the internet, and you can do the same thing. You can get it right off if you go into the Vatican. And the letter goes on to say that Saturday is the Sabbath, but the church had the power to change it, and that everything in the Bible, don't miss this, everything in the Bible that talks about the Sabbath has been transferred over to the first day of the week. Wow. Let me read a little letter to you here. This came out 1995. It's from the St. Catherine Catholic Church Sentinel, 1995. Quote, perhaps the boldest thing, the most revolutionary change the church ever did happened in the first century. The holy day, the Sabbath, was changed from Saturday to Sunday, not from any directions noted in the Scriptures, but from the church's sense of its own power. People who think the Scripture should be the sole authority should logically keep the Saturday holy. Well, I believe in the Word of God, amen? I believe what the Bible says on this subject. And we should be following a thus saith the Lord. So here I was, my wife and I, going to church on both days. We wanted to make sure that we were right, that we were doing what God wanted us to do. Until one day, I found something in the Bible. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, a New Testament book, and this book of Hebrews convinced me beyond a doubt the truthfulness and the need to follow the Lord and keep the Sabbath. Here it is, Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 4. Hebrews 4, verse 4. Listen to the way the Bible brings this out. Hebrews 4, verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now, I don't have to explain it. It's just straightforward. What does it say? God rested on which day of the week? The seventh day from all his work. Look at verse 9, same chapter. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth what for the people of God? A rest. Look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now wait a minute. Verse 4 says that God rested on the seventh day. We've already looked at that. Genesis 2 says that God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh day. Here he says God rested on the seventh day. Then he says the people of God should keep the same rest that God rested on. This is New Testament. When I read these verses, I was convinced that God's commandments are important. Not, wait a minute, let's get something clear. Not to save me. I was not to keep the Sabbath, nor was I to keep any of the commandments in order to earn salvation, because salvation is a free gift through Jesus Christ. But why would I want to keep the commandments? Everything that God says in this book is for my good. Everything, including the Sabbath. Because in the Sabbath, he wants to give me three things: physical, mental, and spiritual rest. Now, don't miss the point. I'm a believer since God is creator, did He put something within us when He created us? A something for a need for the Sabbath. Because He is creator. No other day of the week will work. Because it's that one day that He said, I bless it, I sanctified it, I hallowed it, I made it special for you, for me, to give you that peace, that joy, and that happiness. Then I come along and I meet a man who says, you're under bondage. He says, you're under bondage when you try to keep commandments. Don't miss it. We studied this last night. You're not under bondage when you're following the Lord. You're under bondage when we're disobeying the Lord. Just like the laws of the land. We're not under bondage until we start breaking those laws. So the commandments are important. They're the Word of God. Revelation 22, 18 through 20 says this, a man that will add to or take away from the Word of God shall receive all the plagues found written in this book. So friends, I cannot, even though the majority of the world does one thing, I cannot follow what man does. I must follow what Jesus says and what Jesus tells me to do. Amen? No matter if he is a Jew, doesn't make any difference. It's his Word. He is Savior. He is Lord. He is King of Kings. And he's coming soon. Now somebody says, well, John, only a few little people have ever kept the Sabbath. Ah, don't miss the point. All of the Old Testament characters from Adam and Eve all the way through were Sabbath keepers. All of the New Testament characters were Sabbath keepers. But most of all, our example, Jesus Christ was a Sabbath keeper. Jesus has already proved to me that he loves me. How did he do that? He took my place. He took your place on Calvary's tree. And he says to us tonight, he says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a love relationship. Somebody says, well, why do you do it? Why do you do it? I want to be refreshed physically, mentally, and spiritually. I want to do it because God says it. I may not understand it all. I may not be clear on it. But I want to do it because he says it. And here's what happens. When we step out by faith to do what God says, even though it may conflict with the way we believe, if we'll step out and follow what he says, no matter what the cost, he opens the doors, he makes it clear, and it's just as clear as can be. But we got to touch the water sometime. Did you know that? We got to step by faith in order to follow the Lord at times. Let me take you to the screen, share with you a few slides tonight that will help us to understand this subject. The Bible says in John 15, 10, he kept his Father's commandments. Matthew 5, it says he came to fulfill, keep the law, not to destroy. Matthew 5 also says he came to magnify the law. And in Luke 4, 16, he customarily kept the Sabbath. The Bible says that he openly ignored Jewish Sabbath laws not in the Bible. Now don't miss this. Jesus did not keep the Jewish Sabbath as the laws that they had made. He kept the Sabbath the way he made it. Actually, the Jewish Sabbath laws were nailed to the cross. Did you know that? It says that in Colossians chapter 2. Not the Ten Commandments, but the ceremonial laws. We don't have to bring a lamb to the altar anymore. Jesus was the Lamb of God. But don't miss this point. The Ten Commandments were given before man sinned, so they have no part with the ceremonial laws. The ceremonial laws were given after man sinned, so they all pointed to the cross. So when Jesus died, they were done away with. But not the Ten Commandments. They've always been. They were here before man sinned. Daniel 7 gave us the prophecy. The Antichrist, he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Now, don't miss this. It says he's going to think to change times and laws. Out of the Ten Commandments, which commandment deals with time? There's only one. It's the fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Work 6 days, but rest the seventh day. It deals with time. That one commandment proves who God is. He's creator of the universe, of the earth, and so forth. Mark 7:7 says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You see, we can follow man's commandments or we can follow God's commandments. Revelation 13:8 says, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." It has something to do with worship. That's so clear. Now look, go back to Jesus' crucifixion. He's crucified on Good Friday, he's in the tomb on the Sabbath, and he resurrects the first day of the week. Now that must have been the saddest Sabbath in history because Jesus is in the tomb and they didn't even really believe he was going to resurrect. But he did. But he kept the Sabbath even in his crucifixion. The Bible says he rested on the seventh day, he blessed the seventh day, he sanctified the seventh day. He made it special for mankind. The Antichrist power comes along and says, "No, I want you to take the first day of the week in place of the Sabbath." I want you to see something. This is what the Church of Rome says. Quote, "The Catholic Church, for over 1,000 years before the existence of a Protestant, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday." Well, friends, I've got to say tonight, no man has any right to change any parts of God's Word. I don't care how holy the church is or how what it is. It has no right. Listen, here's another one from the same church. It says, the Bible says, "Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day." But the church says, "No, keep the first day of the week," and all the world bows down in reverent obedience to the mandates of the Catholic Church. Father Brady says this, quote, "Sunday is an institution of the Roman Catholic Church. Those who observe the day observe a commandment of the Catholic Church." Every quote, every Protestant who keeps Sunday is doing just what Rome wants him to do and is obeying Rome, as she is the only church which claims to have power to change laws and did change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. This is not something I came up with. This is what they're saying themselves. Here's another one. Now this one here, I told you about this the other night. I have this one available. This is a Catholic catechism. I just bought these from the Catholic publishing house. And this quote is in this book. So we make them available to you. If you want to purchase one, you can purchase one. This is what it says. Question. It's on page 50. Question. Which day is the Sabbath day? Answer. Saturday is the Sabbath day. Question. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer. We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the church in the Council of Laodicea, A.D. 336, transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. That's what the church says, that they've changed the Sabbath. The Lutheran church says this about the Sabbath: "The observance of the Lord's Day Sunday is founded not on any command of God, but on the authority of the church." The Methodist church, notice what they say. Quote, "It is true there is no positive command for infant baptism, nor is there any for keeping holy the first day of the week." Here's another one. The Baptist Manual. Dr. E.F. Hiscock, author of the Baptist Manual, says this, quote, "There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. But that Sabbath was not Sunday. It will, however, be readily said, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not." A few months ago, I had a Baptist minister to come into one of my meetings. He came to me and he said, "I want to show you something from my Sunday school quarterly." It's adults, large print, Sunday school. I think this was probably the last quarter or whatever. He said, "You're not going to believe this." And this minister was searching, seeking for truth. And this is what it says. See if you catch what I'm about to read, all right? This was on one of the days for the study. Quote, "The third commandment instructs us to dedicate weekly time for rest and worship. This is called the Sabbath day." Did anybody catch it? What did it say? Third. Now wait a minute. It hit him. When the minister read this, it hit him so hard that he came to our meetings. He heard this message on the Sabbath, and he said, "I'm going to start keeping it and start preaching it myself." Why? When the church changed the commandments, here's what they did. They took the second commandment, blotted it out. What does the second commandment say? "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images and bow down and worship them." They took the tenth commandment, divided it into two, so you still got ten commandments, and they moved them all up. When they moved them all up, that made the fourth commandment the third commandment, and right on up to each one of the commandments. This is in a Baptist Sunday School quarterly, calling the fourth commandment the third commandment. That's the way the church changed them years ago. And he said, I've got to preach the truth of God's Word. And praise the Lord, that's what he's doing tonight, preaching God's Word. Let me go on. There's no question. Man has tampered with God's Word. The church openly admits that it's changed the Sabbath. The devil hates the commandments. It doesn't matter if it's the fourth, the sixth, the seventh. It doesn't matter which one. He hates them all. But he especially hates the fourth one, because that's the commandment that says that God is God, because He is creator of everything. Martin Luther says it this way, quote, they, the Catholics of Church, allege the Sabbath changed into Sunday. Neither is there any example more boasted of than the changing of the Sabbath day. Great, say they, is the power and authority of the Church, since it dispensed with one of the Ten Commandments. He knew the truth about the Sabbath and the Ten Commandments. Four facts now stand out in bold relief. Number one, the change from Sabbath to Sunday is not found in the Bible. Number two, God predicted that the papacy would think to change His times and laws. Number three, the papacy openly declares it has changed God's law. And number four, the papacy thus exalts itself above God as forecast by the Apostle Paul. No man, let's make it clear, no one, I don't care how holy he is, how great they are, no one is to tamper with any part of the Bible. We have no right to change any word of the Bible, because God's Word is final. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey. Now, why did I title this The Great Deception? The whole world has been called up in this deception about the Sabbath. They've been told this and that. Part of the world keeps Friday. Part of the world keeps Saturday. Part of the world keeps Sunday. Part of the world keeps Monday. God says the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. 2 Thessalonians told us that He would oppose and exalt Himself above all that is called God. If men had always kept the seventh-day Sabbath, there never would have been an idolater, for the Sabbath is a memorial of the true God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Evolution would have never been taught if man would have kept the Sabbath, because the Sabbath proves who the Creator is, that we didn't come from some kind of monkey or slime or something else on the bottom of the ocean. Two powers, the beast power and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm going to try to bring it together now. Jesus Christ is Creator. He's God. He's the one that created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh day. He's the one that became flesh, walked among men, kept the Sabbath. He went to the cross, died on the cross on Good Friday, rested in the tomb on the Sabbath, and resurrected the first day of the week. He's the same God that's going to create the world anew, and He says on the new earth and in the new heavens, we're going to keep the Sabbath. Right through history, we see it. The Sabbath is important because God gave it. Amen? It doesn't save us, but it's part of God's plan to bless me, to bless you physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I want to be blessed. Amen? Joshua 24:15. But as for me, in my house, we will serve who? The Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for tonight, for Your holy word. Thank You, Father, that the Bible is real, that You gave us the Ten Commandments because You love us. You gave us the Sabbath because You love us. You want us to be refreshed physically, mentally, and spiritually. Lord, tonight I pray that every one of us will decide by the grace of God that we're going to follow Jesus and Jesus alone. Save us now, Father, not in our sins, but from our sins. Because we ask it and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.